Listen and follow the Left Wing Rugby Podcast with me, Will Slattery, and Luke Fitzgerald.
As far as I can see, I always want to get in the Irish team. And that should be every young player's dream and ambition in this country. And if you're playing in a place where you're not going to get the opportunities in the big games, that they're the ones that get you picked. They are the ones, the Champions Cup games are the ones that get you picked. You need to be playing in a team and starting in a team for those games. It's as simple as that if you want to play in the Irish team.
Every week on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On this week's Big Tech Show, when you travel, how do you avoid getting completely ripped off on roaming charges outside of Europe? And what are some of the travel hacks you should know about that aren't included in the tech you buy? We give you all the tips you need to know.
On top of my list, Adrian, is my noise-cancelling headphones. When I put them on, I love that it just goes boom, and you're in this kind of sonic bubble and you can't hear the baby and you can't hear that weird frequency of the aircon on the airplane.
The Big Tech Show. Available on all podcast platforms.
Bord Gáis Energy, putting customers at the core of under 20 and senior hurling championship action. Hashtag hurling to the core.
Hello and welcome to the Throw-In, independent.ie's GA podcast in association with Bord Gáis Energy. I'm Will Slattery. Michael Verney, unfortunately, is nursing an injury from a club game this week, so it's just myself in the hot seat, but delighted to be joined by Dunica Boyle in studio and Kieran Whelan on the phone. And Dunica, will obviously start with the big game of the weekend. It was Kerry versus Donegal yesterday, and it was the Croke Park round of the Super 8s last year. That was kind of, you know, very disappointing and underwhelming experience for everyone. This year, the games were better, albeit maybe the atmosphere wasn't quite as good as people had hoped, but that Kerry Donegal game was a cracker. I think people were looking at it as maybe who would emerge as maybe the number one contender to Dublin. We don't really know, I guess, who is that number one contender. It finished 120 apiece. What were your kind of big takeaways from the game?
I suppose that a few weeks ago, we would have thought that Donegal were out on their own as the number two or the number one contenders in the country. And then, but I think Kerry showed a little bit more evidence that they're coming on at rate, and not being such a young team and being as inexperienced as they are, I'd imagine every game they get against top class opposition like that, where there's something on the line, is going to bring them on so much. So, look, I think we didn't really find out anything. We didn't know insofar as that there was nothing there to suggest that anyone's going to come along and blow Dublin out of the water or anything like that. But I do think there are two credible contenders now, and we have, I suppose, more confirmation of that is the way to put it.
Yeah, Kieran, as Dunica mentioned there, Kerry do seem to be coming on, you know, quite rapidly, especially when you compare it to the Croke Park weekend last year against Galway, where they struggled mightily and were kind of on the verge of elimination after that. Like, this year, they're kind of have one foot in the semi-final, and some of these young players do look like they've kind of kicked on again, as well as established guys like Paul Ganey and Stephen O'Brien looking to hit form at the right time.
Yeah, listen, it's yesterday I think was a huge game for Kerry and Donegal, but I think in the context of these young players, obviously they came up in the league final and they looked kind of inferior to Mayo and kind of were probably spooked by the Croke Park experience. And I think you have to give, you know, young players breaking into senior teams, you have to give them nearly 12 months to adapt and become comfortable with the environment. And playing a game yesterday, which I think we have to celebrate, to be honest with you, because it was a brilliant, brilliant game of football. It was game of the year by a long shot. Like, it was end-to-end stuff. It was man-to-man football. Everybody had to win their own personal battle. But I think overall, the experience that Kerry can take from it in terms of those young players and having that experience in Croke Park, it will do nothing but improve them. And you know, the likes of Gavin White and Tom O'Sullivan and David Clifford and Sean O'Shea, you know, to come up and perform in that environment, it will certainly help them. Sean O'Shea is getting used to a lot of attention off the ball. And all these learning curves, you know, like Clifford himself, are going to be targeted against any team that they play against. So, listen, it's very positive from the Kerry perspective. You know, from a Dublin perspective, they'd be looking back and saying, you know, these guys are coming. We know they've been coming. They've been winning All-Ireland, minor All-Irelands for fun. And they're certainly on an upward curve. But, you know, you've got to also look at it from a Donegal perspective. And, you know, that, you know, while Kerry are missing David Moran, Donegal had lost three of their defence, and you would have kind of said, you know, that they may struggle to hold that Kerry forward line. They didn't go defensive as they thought they would. You know, obviously McFadden played as a sweeper, but they kind of abandoned that in the second half, and, you know, he was gone out of the game. But Like they've got to be very pleased with the performance as well, and they had some powerhouse performances, particularly Michael Murphy, you know, scoring 1-7. Ryan McHugh was brilliant. Paddy McBrady, very dangerous, coming on the loop. Michael Langan kicked two great scores as well. And you know, they're a team that has improved no end as well. So I think it's a great thing for the championship to have two teams coming to tackle the Dogs, and it certainly whets the appetite for later on in the year.
And Donegal, as Kieran said, you know, that kind of spectre of Dublin is looming over everything. Like, from what you've seen from the two teams that were in action yesterday, how close are they, do you think, to maybe posing a good, credible challenge or even beating Dublin?
I think there's going to be, Dublin will have to beat two good teams to win the All-Ireland. And there'll be two good tests. Now, I think every time you see Dublin, I think maybe this year, and we've said it in this room before, that we've probably been willing a championship to come around, as opposed to maybe looking at a lot of the evidence.
Talking ourselves into it,
because of, like, I think you can discount the league, and I think a lot of people said that from early in the thing, that, you know, that Jim Gavin was going to be trying to come right for the Super 8s at the very earliest, and probably the All-Ireland semi-final, because I think you could have guaranteed it'd be an All-Ireland semi-final no matter who was in the group, because they're certainly going to win Leinster, and for them not to get out of group with the Croke Park games and all of that was highly unlikely. So Dublin are only coming right around now, and I suppose everyone else has expended a lot more energy, shown a lot more of their hand, and I think Dublin are just there's just that much, they were so much further ahead of everyone else last year. I don't think, as good as these two teams are, I don't think anyone has bridged that gap yet.
Kieran, would you agree with that? Like, you know, obviously it was a great game yesterday, but when you're kind of looking at it with a view to possibly playing Dublin in a semi-final or a final, what do you think that challenge would look like?
Well, I think you're balancing two things. You're balancing the freshness that Dublin have, and, you know, the ruthlessness they showed against Roscommon, and that they can still turn it on and up it a few notches when they have to, and they are coming in fresh mentally. And you're balancing that freshness against, I suppose, you know, momentum, game time as well. You know, for those two teams yesterday to go down that stretch in the last into injury time, toe to toe, point to point at the end of the field, I don't think you can buy that in terms of that helping the two teams going forward. But having said that, you know, you look at that can fatigue teams as well. And I think, you know, we spoke about it last night, there's a lot of games in a compact space of time. Again, Dublin can kind of maybe cruise through the game in Alma without having too much worries of the outcome, where, you know, the likes of Donegal will have to, you know, put in another big performance in Castlebar, and, you know, likewise, Kerry will have to do a job up in Navan as well. So there's bigger tests, I suppose, on that side of the group. With only a 6-7 day turnaround going into the semi-final, you worry about mental fatigue on that side. So, yeah, it's freshness versus kind of game sharpness, which will help the other two. But in terms of the gap closing, listen, it's very hard to tell. You know, the Dublin forward line at the moment just looks so powerful in terms of everything they do. And I think you saw the other evening when Jim Gavin took off a few of the key players, the Mannions, O'Callaghan's, Kilkenny's, the Jack McCaffrey's, you know, you saw an immediate kind of change in the pace of the team, and the level these guys are operating at, it's very, very difficult to defend against. So it whets the appetite. You hope that, you know, Dublin will possibly have to beat those two teams to win the All-Ireland, ruling out a shock in Castlebar. And listen, that's what we want. We want a good end to the championship, but Dublin still looking, you know, Dublin still has to be in pole position based on their status and having won four All-Irelands in a row and looking like they're continuing to improve.
And just to round out, I guess, the action from yesterday, Mayo versus Mead, it was kind of similar enough to maybe Mead. Donegal, Mead put a credible challenge in for maybe an hour, 55 minutes. They had a lot of chances that they failed to convert, and then Mayo got a goal, you know, after a mistake in the Mead defence, and then they, you know, hit home another goal, and so put a bit of gloss on the scoreline. But, like, if you're James Horan, you wouldn't be already happy with that.
No, but I suppose that game went along. You often see it with teams who are trying to break into that next level of competition, and I think you saw it on Saturday night before with Tyrone and Cork as well, and Cork really went at Tyrone. but they were expending so much energy in trying to stay with them that when it came down the home straight, they sort of just maybe ran out of ideas, a little bit of concentration, maybe just lost their nerve a little bit. And there was a little bit of that in what happened to Meath as well. I think it was a point in it in 61 minutes and ended up losing by, was it 9 in the end? So, like James Horan, like the amount of chances they missed, I was there now as I wasn't working at it. And actually, when you're not working at a game, you actually see... you see very different things sometimes, and the one thing that just stood out from the match was just the chances. Like really, Mayo kept Meath in it in the first half. It was there something like nine wides or dropped short, missed attempts anyway in the first half of that game, and they kept them in it. And in fairness to Meath, they kept going and all that. But eventually, the bit of experience, the little bit of extra class that Mayo had, and the little bit of the bench they had to come on as well and make an impact told. So look, Mayo was still alive. That's all they wanted. But I think Kieran hit a very important point there. Going to Castlebar next week, on 2 weeks' time, both teams are going to have to spend an awful lot of energy to beat each other and stay alive and stay in the championship. And assuming that Kerry win in Navan, and you know, that is going to be crucial for a 6 or 7 day turnaround to the following weekend for an All Ireland semi final.
Yeah, Kieran, I guess you can look at that game in Castlebar in two ways. On the one hand, like if you'd offered James Horan a chance to, you know, to progress to the next round with a home game against Donegal, he probably would have taken that at the start. But, you know, on the flip side, Donegal are in good form. And even though they are away from home, they are the bookies' favourites, as you mentioned. It would be a bit of a shock, I guess, if Mayo did actually get over the line in that game. But, you know, do you still think Mayo are in the conversation overall? Or even if they do get through this round, do you think their challenge will go much further?
I just don't think they're playing at a consistent enough level to progress much further. You can never rule out a performance at Mayo because they're gutsy, you know, they're ballsy, they have courage. When they collectively get the crowd behind them and they get put a performance together, they have the potential to beat anybody. But it's just their lack of consistency. And, you know, I thought we saw that over the weekend again. You know, yes, listen, he would be delighted in a position, particularly after the defeat to Kerry and the manner of the defeat to Kerry, to get the victory yesterday. But they were sloppy in front of goal, you know, missed some very, very basic, easy chances. You know, David Clark kick out is still a problem. He's just very slow. And I think that, like, if you look at Sean Patton, or you look at Shane Ryan, you look at Stephen Cluxton, the ball has gone out within a 10-second period, and they know what they want to do. They make their
and
mind up
and
they
stick well.
To that decision.
Doesn't it, Kieran? It hangs as well. Like it gives that extra half second or second in the air, which I suppose if you are, if someone is trying to make a break off into space, trying the ball has to get there as quick as the man has to get there. But if it's hanging for that second, it gives you that little minute to get back and compete and contest and break the ball, and then all of a sudden it's wide open again.
But Kieran, would you bring back in Robbie Henley then? Because I guess the chopping and changing in goal, every time they've made a switch, it seems to have almost gotten worse in a lot of times.
Well, I think they're going to stick with David Clark, because with all due respect to him, his shot stop and his authority under the high ball is excellent, and he gives him that little bit of security, I think, and he's a very, very good shot stopper. But I agree with Dunne in terms of that hanging ball suits the opposition midfielder or opposition player who's going to come plowing through the man. But for me, it's just even like at times from the kickouts down in Kerry or whatever, like it's 20 plus seconds, and that's given the opposition time plenty of time to reset. Like that's the equivalent of having a free in where you can nearly get everybody in the right position to put a zone or press on or do whatever you have to do. And I just think he has to be a lot quicker. And I think when it comes to the crunch, like Donegal will be, we saw what they done to Tyrone on the kick out. Ironically, yesterday they went man to man with Kerry. They changed their approach on the opposition kick out. But I just think it's a weakness there in Mayo that I think Donegal will go after. And also, I think, you know, Donegal just have a better balance. You know, I think they'll have more legs than Mayo, if I'm going to be honest with you. I think, you know, Mayo, the extra week might help them regroup. But I just think over the last couple of weeks, the fact they've been on the road 4 or 5 weeks in a row, I think they look a little bit mentally fatigued and heavy legged at times. And they'd be hoping that they can get a bounce in 2 weeks' time. But like Donegal are coming with full of energy. And in terms of the quality they have, if they get a couple of the players back, they get Neil McGee back in full back, and they've a solid enough defence. And with the likes of Murphy and McHugh knocking around the place, I just can't. I find it hard to see how Mayo are going to come out on top.
Well, it sets up an interesting game in Castlebar anyway, don't it? And we'll just maybe go back to Saturday night then. Dublin-Roscommon, a very comprehensive win for the All-Ireland champions, I think. Was it 18 points in the end, 226 to 14? you know, Conn O'Callaghan put in a really good performance and he got man of the match. You know, Kieran Kilkenny was very good, Fenton was very good. Like, all the key performers, as you'd expect, were playing well. And another, like, whenever Roscommon seem to play Dublin, it seems to be a very chastising experience.
I was working at the first game on Saturday night, and by the time I got back round from the Cusick stand after doing the post-match reaction, I think there might have been 8 or 9 points in it already, and you know, the place just was dead. It was completely devoid of atmosphere. So look, I don't think we've seen we saw a whole lot from Dublin that we didn't know already. I don't think they had to do it. The one thing that was mentioned a few times is that Kieran Kilkenny was quite influential. Not that he was playing bad before this, but he probably wasn't maybe as central to the thing as he was maybe this time 12 months ago. But if he's back in form, I think that's good news for Dublin. I see Bernard Brogan was back on the bench. It'll be interesting to see what sort of role he plays or if he's
didn't
fully
get
fit.
Any game time though. I thought he would have thrown him a couple of minutes.
In fairness to Jim, like, he's not. There's no room for sentiment with any of that stuff. Like, it's always be exactly who's available and when, and if it suits the team, it suits the team. But I don't think it'll ever be such. You know, give the great servant a few minutes for the sake of it. It will never be that. So look. Dublin now, what they are, they're utterly dominant, and it's tough being Roscommon now, because as a county they have done so much right. They've been so competitive at under 21 level, and I'd say they're asking themselves how much more they can do in terms of closing the gap that's between them and Dublin, because it's massive.
And Kieran, I guess when you're looking at some of these Dublin matches, when they do win by a big margin, you're maybe looking to pick out some talking points. And it was interesting, just the team selection in general. Like, Keno Sullivan was dropped to the bench. Dean Rock was brought back in for Cormac Costello. You know, so they were, I guess, two, you know, changes that you might see again going forward in the championship. Like, do you expect to see Keane Sullivan back in, or do you think maybe Jim has slightly phased him out? Because he has been maybe struggling a small bit.
Yeah, it was an interesting one. Like, I suppose I probably wasn't really surprised, you know, when you've got the likes of McCarthy and Cooper to come back into the equation. Like, the Dublin defence was certainly strengthened with them in it. And obviously Johnny Cooper needed to get game time into Johnny Cooper. He's missed, you know, most of the championship. I think Keno Sullivan, I don't think we've certainly seen the end of him. He could feature, he could squeeze back in there in one of the cornerback positions, you wouldn't know. But Dublin, they're definitely, you know, were stronger defensively than I thought. They worked harder, they tackled harder, they were a lot more intense. I thought at times they stood off against Cork. Up front, you know, it's very difficult for Cormac Costello. Like, he didn't get a run at all. After being quite prolific during the league, you know, very good in the early rounds of the championship, you know, he's been punished badly because of a couple of frees, you know, and he's probably unlikely to get back in at this point. Dean done very well, but he could be still a significant impact sub for them, you know. So all Dublin's key players look like they're beginning to perform. You know, I thought Howard has been brilliant over the last couple of weeks. Conn O'Callaghan is back on top form as well. You know, Mannion, Kilkenny. It's a wealth of riches for Jim, isn't it? And he has them just all competing with each other to try and get in. So, and James Lucas in his approach, you know, I agree with Donoghue. There's no sentiment. There's no giving a guy a run out in the last 10 minutes just because they're winning by 19, 20 points. Like, I do think the dynamic of the Tyrone game is going to be different, though. You know, I don't buy into this, you know, Tyrone have to beat Dublin or anything like that. I think the game is insignificant for both sides, and both sides will have an All-Ireland semi-final six, seven days later. So, you know, do you balance momentum against the risk of injury and you know, fatigue? I'm not too sure whether you can. So, I think that game is going to be a bit of a dead duck from both teams' perspective, and I think Jim will make probably 7-8 changes and give guys a run out in 2 weeks' time.
And one man, Kieran, I'd be interested to see if he does feature in that OMA game is Dermot Connolly. I enjoyed your piece in the Herald last week, kind of just going over him coming back and what it means for the team, but obviously didn't feature in the 26-man squad at the weekend. And now I guess speculation is kind of coming, like, is he just back in to maybe kind of come back into the panel, like, but is he actually going to feature at all? Or, like, what do you think we will see him play any game time?
Well, obviously, a lot depends on his form and training. We know that's the way Jim operates. But listen, he hasn't brought him back for that reason. He brought Dermot Connolly back because he has that X factor, and he brought him back because I think he knows come the business end of the championship, you know, that Dublin will be probably brought to the last 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, where he's going to need significant impact off the bench. You know, he's going to have Cormac Costello, obviously, come off the bench. Paddy Small kicked 3 points from that, and he's done well. But, you know, after that, you know, like, a true and Paddy Andrews the other night in Kenmack Manor. But, like, listen, if you're looking around your bench and the game is in the melting pot, are you going to risk Connolly? Of course he's going to risk him. And if once he's shown any, unless he's gone very flat in training and he's struggling in training, he's brought him back for a purpose. And I can't see Dermot Connolly starting, if I'm being honest, but I think he's back to make an impact at a particular point in time.
Yeah, I think if you look at the Dublin forwards now, it's sort of, it's 5 plus 1 off Costello and Rock, and Rock is sort of, he's in the man in possession for that jersey now. Then after that, So there were your first seven. After that, you're looking at Paddy Small, who has, I think he's featured in every game off the bench for Dublin this year. And then it's maybe Kevin McManaman, who's been in and out, but I suppose hasn't been making the impact he has in previous years. Owen O'Gara's been in loads of squads, but I don't think he's played at all for a minute. Bernard was back on the bench the other day. He didn't play. So I think that, like, Jim has realised that, well, look, this guy he's worth the risk, I suppose, in terms of, because you can upset a panel by bringing someone back in. If you're number 7 or 8 in the Dublin forwards and all of a sudden you're number 9 or 10 because this guy's come back in and hasn't trained all year, you'd have a right to feel a bit miffed. But I think Jim has made the decision that he's absolutely worth it.
And Kieran, just on the earlier game on Saturday in Cork versus Tyrone, you know, got off to a very, I guess, surprising start from a lot of people's perspectives. Cork, you know, finding the net after, I think, 20 or 30 seconds. They got another goal through James Lockery soon afterwards. And then there was that third quarter when Tyrone did come out really strong. I think they scored 2-3 or without reply or something around that, you know, amount. And then Cork actually fought back well to get back into the game and had a chance to maybe get a draw at the end. Ultimately come out in another loss, but surely there's a lot of positives for them to take going into next season, given they've been pretty competitive against last year's All-Ireland finalists across two matches.
Yeah, like, it's been, Cork have come from nowhere, really, if I'm being honest. You know, I've been watching them in the month of championship the last couple of years. They were so disappointing whenever they showed any promise, and collapsed last year against Kerry and Tyrone. And when they got relegated this year, you really wondered what direction they were heading, but they've rejuvenated. And you've got to give them massive credit. They just, that little momentum they got from the Kerry game and that little bit of belief fed into the Dublin game, and their use of possession, their ball retention, a lot of guys very comfortable on the ball. They play a lot of kind of one-touch football where they stop the opposition getting tackles in, and they were very, very good in that first half. They totally dominated possession. Very smart first goal, knowing there wouldn't be a sweeper back. You know, they opened Tyrone up for the second goal. And as you said, even though Tyrone got 2-2, they kind of came back into the game and they never gave up. But certainly, you know, Tyrone up to the half-time. But Tyrone were very late coming out in the second half. You know, Cork were on the pitch for a long time waiting for them. And I'd say Mickey Hart gave them a bit of a rocket. Their level of performance wasn't where it should have been in the first half. They were struggling to break down Cork. Cork kind of mirrored them to a certain degree. You know, they got bodies back. And that's one thing, though, Cork has tactically evolved very well over the last couple of weeks, considering they've only had a couple of weeks between matches. And Ronan McCarthy deserves great credit for that. But I think it was Tyrone's just bit of class in the end. Matty Donnelly came storming into the game. The three substitutions at half-time. Peter Hart was very, very good in that second half. And their strong running game, combined with moving Donnelly inside, just, you know, carved them open. And like, getting 2-2 in 4 minutes is such a momentum shift in the third quarter, and Cork just struggled with that. Otherwise they could have been well in it, but like, they have a lot to build on. They can take positives out of the championship. I know people will say, well, Kerry beat them, Cork beat them, and Tyrone beat them, when they look at it from a results perspective, but in terms of their level of performance, you know, they've certainly something to build on.
And Donegal, I see you looking admiringly at your report from the weekend from Cork versus Tyrone.
So you remember what I did.
Yeah, so you're the man who can really give us a good idea about what took place. You know, so overall, what was the big storyline for you coming out of the match?
It was absolutely the switch of Matty Donnelly, because, like, we've talked so much about how Tyrone should play and what they did against Donegal and what went wrong for them and how good they were in the league against Dublin when they beat them in Croke Park. And yet the new sort of more adventurous system, if you like, and the willingness to kick the ball sort of blew up in their face a little bit against Donegal. They played in Donegal's hands and then they reverted to type, and they've sort of done what they've always done, and they've steamrolled teams, galloped them into the ground. But I think they've realised that that only gets them so far, and like, it'll get them probably to an All-Ireland semi-final, but it won't beat the very best teams. And it's rare you see it now in an inter-county football match, but the switch of one player to have such a massive impact on the game. So Donnelly was in full forward for most of the second half, and I had him down for kicking 3 points, fouled for 3 more that were converted frees, and he had a hand in both of their goals. So, you know, he absolutely turned the thing upside down. So his role, and we're asking Mickey Hart about it afterwards, and he was kind of saying, listen, we'd love to have him everywhere, and that's probably right. When him and McShane were inside, Cork just couldn't get a handle on either of them. So, but Kieran's really was right about Cork. Like, they're talk about, I saw them in the Munster final, even against Dublin, when they put up a fairly brave effort. But if you remember against Dublin, they butchered a very simple goal chance where there was
Brian Hurley and Luke Conley.
Brian Hurley took the shot, yeah. And Cluxton made a good save. But every day of the week, the Dubs would have flipped that across for the guaranteed goal rather than shooting himself. Even Meade did something similar the other day. The Donal Keoghan had Mickey Newman inside him, and he shot instead of taking the shot, or instead of giving the pass. But against, interestingly, for the first goal against Tyrone, they took the option with the man inside with the pass to remove any chance of missing the goal chance. So they have learned at a rate of knots, and they've come on. Next year in Division 3, they should absolutely lay waste to it on this evidence, and have to keep this momentum going.
You wouldn't know a Cork.
You wouldn't know a Cork, but Ronan McCarty talked about it afterwards, and he says, listen, we have a group of lads now who are absolutely 100% dedicated playing for Cork. He keeps that group together. And the other thing to have is to have classy forwards, and like, you can do all the things with systems and all that, but you can't invent classy forwards. Luke Connolly's a very talented fella. Brian Hurley didn't have his best day because there was so much, I'd say, focus putting them. And Michael Hurley came in and kicked four great points. So they have good forwards, and there's a lot to look forward for there with Cork.
And Kieran, just before we let you go, I guess we're kind of halfway through the 3-year Super 8 experiment, and I thought you spoke well and interestingly about it last night, about maybe taking the Croke Park round out of Croke Park to a neutral venue. But I think the second point you made about maybe, tweaking the structure of it was more interesting, because although the Croke Park rounds maybe haven't caught fire, there's been a lot of some of the games have been very one-sided, and then like we've had dead rubbers this year, we have two dead rubbers last year, we had Dublin Roscommon, which was a dead rubber. So what would you like to see maybe done if it is to be retained going forward?
Well, I think you have to look at it in a broader context, is that we do have a couple of challenges at play in the GA calendar. Okay, and with the provincial championships still as they are, that puts significant pressure on the Super 8 or whatever competition we have after that. So the red herring in the room is still the provincials. But if you were to broaden out the championship, I was looking at it. If you look at both years, and you look at one group is dead already this year. Meade are out, they're gone as well. The same kind of happened last year in a few of the games. So you've only one game of any real kind of maybe context that, albeit Kerry, you have to win. But I just think with four teams and three matches, the dynamic is very, it can lead very easily to dead rubbers, because, and I was only looking at it from the broader context of trying to, incentivize. Like I would have a view of having a broader kind of, Super 16s or whatever, but I just thought the dynamic of five teams in each group would incentivize teams to finish top to get directly to an All-Ireland semi-final. Second and third will qualify for a quarter-final. So you have three positions up for grabs right throughout the four-game process, which might keep it a little bit more competitive as teams are and there's incentives built into it. But obviously, that leads to an extra game. It leads to an extra quarter-final, and that puts huge pressures on the GAA calendar. So I was just making that suggestion in kind of an overall broadening of a review of the GAA calendar. But I just think the 14 groups can work out, depending on the dynamic of the results, it can lead to a lot of kind of dead rubbers in the second round, which we've seen over the last 2 years.
Well, lots of stuff to look, I guess, ahead to over the coming years. We'll see what they do with it. But Kieran, for the moment, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem, lads. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Kieran. So that's Kieran Whelan's idea, maybe to expand the Super 8. I don't know if that will go ahead, but it is kind of interesting, because the dead rubber element of it has been probably the most controversial or the most frustrating thing, I think, for people.
Yeah, because I think when it was envisaged, the idea, if it was fine, it was that, listen, we're going to have 8 of the top teams in the country.
On paper, it sounded, I thought, really good.
And, yeah. But Kieran kind of hit the nail on the head there. When you have two groups of four, dead rubbers are almost inevitable.
Yeah.
Particularly when you're probably looking at maybe six teams, top Gaelic football teams who are all competitive with each other now, max. And here we have 8. And when there's 8, there's always at least one or two cuckoos in the nest, fellas who are not quite at that level. Now, it's great for those teams to get to this stage and to compete and learn about themselves. But, as Kieran says, there's one game of note in 2 weeks' time, and that's in Castlebar. The rest of them, barring a major upset, even if Meade pull off a major upset, it's, you know, it's no use to them. So I like the idea of the Super 8s. The one thing that does grate with me is the fact that we're going back into another non-knockout situation at what's effectively the All-Ireland quarterfinal
stage. Because you go from round four, Kerry, or Galway, Mayo, do or die, and then the foot is taken off the accelerator. While Kerry Mayo was a great occasion in Killarney, there wasn't that kind of edge to it really. And even yesterday's Kerry Donegal game, an absolute cracking game, but you know, both teams could have recovered from a defeat.
Yeah, so it's hard to go back from knockout to not being knockout and then going to knockout again. So it's sort of it's difficult to know, because I like the idea of more top class matches between teams, but I wouldn't say after 2 years of the Super 8s, we're nearly done with the second year, but I don't think there's anyone absolutely wedded to the concept now at this stage.
And, you know, from your perspective covering the games, you know, the Croke Park factor has been, you know...
Like, the cutting have been... It's very hard to see who was in the Hogan Stand beneath us.
I was at Corcoran as well. Like, the start of that was pathetic. Like, was, it was about
would
10,
there have
000.
Been 10,000? Yeah, was I was 10, going to... If I had to guess, I said it was 10,000. The official attendance we got in the end when the Dubs came in was 36,530. You know... There's an easy fix for that, and it's an easy fix in a couple of ways. Remove the Croke Park game, have one home, one away, one neutral.
Because as Kieran Whelan said last night, then it would mean Dublin would only get one Croke Park game anyway. So
It would remove that issue as well. And as well as that, if you have, even if you had 10,000 at a neutral venue game between Cork and Tyrone, which is an extreme example considering how much travel is involved for both sets of supporters, but if you had 10 or 15,000, then I don't know where that game might be, let's say Mullingar, just for argument's sake, like that would be nearly capacity. I think that would be capacity down there, so that would be a much different atmosphere and a much different product than your three quarters empty Croke Park.
Cork's great start deserved a much better atmosphere than the 10,000.
And there's something about Croke Park as well. Like, if you go to other venues and go and watch other sports, places being three quarters empty isn't that big a deal. I don't know, is it, are we somehow, you know, linked to the place that we think it should be heaving every time we're in it, and it's not, you're utterly underwhelmed. But Croke Park is just such a bad place to be when you can hear the players talking to each other.
I'm also struggling to think of another sporting competition where matches would be fixed for, you know, you're not going to play like, you know, a random club rugby match in Twickenham every single week, you know what I mean? Like, or like the Millennium Stadium, which, like, you know, if they did that, like if the, you know, the Dragons played Cardiff in Millennium Stadium, you know, or something like that, there'd probably be only a few people.
Well, I was in the years ago, I was in, was it, oh, maybe it wasn't the MCG, it was the Etihad, I think, which is in Melbourne, and Tommy Walsh was playing for the Sydney Swans, and it was a pre-season, a NAB Cup or an NAB Cup match, and like there was 10,000 people, the stadium was huge, the Etihad, I think it was, and the stadium was huge, and it wasn't as dead as Croke Park feels.
Yeah.
The Croke Park feels like, you know,
as mausoleum.
You could hear Matty Donnelly roaring and getting stuck into his own teammates the other day, and I was in the upper Hogan, essentially, in the press box, and you could hear Matty Donnelly effing one of his fellas out of it because he hadn't done the right thing on the ball or something like that. Like, that's just not how we, when we think of Croke Park and Championship games and All-Ireland quarterfinals, that's not what you think of.
Yeah. And we'll move on to our Bord Gáis Energy Rising Stars in just a second. But first, a quick look ahead to that, you know, final round in 2 weeks' time. The Dublin-Tyrone game obviously is, all they'll be playing for is who plays who, because we'll know at that stage, you know, the makeup of the semi-finals, because this is on the Sunday. Do you expect to see two heavily rotated teams? Will anyone be really going out for the victory?
We asked Mickey Hart about this the other night, and he was there like, oh, well, we don't have to make that decision now. So he was keeping his cards close to his chest. I don't know, like, if you were either of those teams, is there an advantage, a distinct advantage to playing either Kerry or Donegal in the Ireland semi-final? I don't think there is. Maybe Tyrone would rather stay away from Donegal because they played them already. Or maybe...
Could be Mayo.
Well, all things... Either way, is any of those teams obviously easier than the next guy? I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. So... I think there'll be a little bit of shadow boxing in that game, and which is a pity because, again, going back to the whole venue argument and all that, I was at the Dublin-Tyrone game in Omagh last year. It was a great game. I would say that was probably some of Tyrone's best football they played in the last 15, 20 minutes of that game, where they went after Dublin and they actually made a little bit of inroads into it in the last 10 or 15 minutes. So, in short, I think it'll be a bit of shadow boxing as well, which will be a massive anticlimax.
Will Jim McConnelly be in the 26?
No.
Okay.
And if he's going to feature, it's going to be when they need him. I don't think don't need him. It's not a knockout game. Are they going to put him into that environment? It's going to be very hostile and fiery. And anyway, is that the best place to put someone? Because you bring Jim McConnelly on for a game up in Oman,
he gets sent off after 30 seconds.
Well, not that he gets sent off, but he's definitely going to get his buttons pushed.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think so. I think when you see Jim McConnelly, it's going to be with maybe 10 minutes to go in a game in a melting pot, maybe.
And whenever about that game being dead rubber, you have the dead rubberiest of dead rubbers in Cork, Roscommon and Porky Ring, both teams who are, you know, nothing to play for, both teams have two defeats from two. You know, what's there to say about this one?
Not much, and move to Parky Rin as well. And
at least it's not in Porky Cove, where it would have been like 5,000 people there.
It would have been, that's exactly what it would have been. No, there's not much to say about that. I suppose, look, both teams will be looking to finish off in a bit of a flurry. You know, they'll have their end of the season sort of debrief after that. If you're going into that with a win, particularly for Roscommon, who've been at the All-Ireland quarterfinal stage now a good few times and haven't won it, if you're going in to that match and you're after winning games, listen, lads, that we can do it. There's something to go on then, as opposed to going in off three defeats. I think that's you're playing for something to build on there, really.
And they have a 2-week wait for that game as well. So then the other group, I guess there is stuff to play for. Although Meath are out, Kerry are probably true, but there's a sequence of events that could maybe see them eliminated, or is there?
Well, you'd have to. It starts with Meath winning, and in fairness, Meath have made huge strides this year. But that looks, they played in the challenge match back in shortly after the league, and
so if Meath and Donegal win,
Meath and Donegal win,
or sorry, Meath and Mayo win,
Meath Mayo win, then you have
depending on how much the score is,
and but the score, then your score difference is quite tight, because Kerry are plus 10 at the minute and Donegal are plus 9, so that could come into it. But look, I think Kerry should take care of business in Navan. I think Meath will throw everything at them, and they'll look to extract a bit of value and a bit of learning from that game. But I think Kerry should. I'd be surprised if they're not in an Ireland semi-final.
Will the Meath players be released to the hurling club hurling championship in the Meath?
You're trying to start a row in the county again. No, I think the club championship in Meath at the moment, the last time I checked anyway, which is about a week ago, is for the week after the last Super 8s game. But I think there was a bit of a move to give the county players 2 weeks to prepare for winter clubs, because they've had such a long season. And always with these things, there's when the county has gone well or perceived to have gone well, it happens in every county that there's always a little bit more willingness to leeway. Give a bit of leeway to them. So I think they might do that.
And then we've Mayo Donegal is the game of the weekend in Castlebar.
It's the only game, where really,
Mayo have, you know, a patchy enough record. I know they did beat, you know, they beat Galway there, but
Mayo love the drama. They love the high wire. Like, they're absolute. Like, even the other day, like, Colin Boyle was their man of the match. You know, and Colin, you know, Colin's one of those fellas you're there like, oh, geez, how much longer I can go for? Now, I think he was personally lucky not to pick up a second yellow when he's already on a yellow. But he was very good. I think if they get two more weeks into Lee Keegan, you know, if he's carrying that ankle, he was very good. Darren Cohn has kicked some lovely points. Killian O'Connor looks like he's bad. Like, the last thing you do is say, like, there's no way Mayo can do this.
Well, they're at home to a team that they can beat.
And a team that they can beat, and that, as I said, they respond very well when they're on the high wire. They're nearly at their best.
But you're predicting Donegal?
I'm just predicting Donegal on the basis that, yeah, I think they have a lot of so much talent, so many options, so many ways they can hurt you as well. Like Michael Murphy the other day, again, like, I wasn't working at the game, but you watched it. And I was watching him. Him and McHugh were unbelievable. But I watched, I was looking at him at one stage, and I said, geez, Murphy's carrying an injury, and he's gone down, and he's rooting with his boot, and he was pretending to be sort of out of the game, is what it was. Next thing you look up, and he's at the other end of the pitch.
He looks perpetually bait.
He does. He always looks exhausted. But I started to think then, is he just doing this so whoever's picking him up, was it Shane Enright maybe for large? I'm not sure who it was yesterday. Was he just doing it to sort of give the perception?
Playing
that
possum, as the Americans call it.
Yeah, is that what it? Yeah. But so he was just outstanding. Like, geez, he's like the good lad in under 14 level. You know, the fella who just sort of ran the show. Like, he is genuinely incredible.
Yeah, personally, I think the semi-final pairings I would like would be Kerry Tyrone on one side, Dublin Mayo on the other side. I think that'd be just two. For storyline wise, that would be good. But I think Donegal will win as well. But
yeah, I think you're looking at. I think you're going to look at Kerry. Kerry and I think Dublin will do enough to top the group.
Kerry Tyrone, Dublin.
Donegal.
That's not bad either.
No, and that would be brilliant. And you know what? That would, if there is going to be the drive for five and it's done, and like people give out about all the other things that go on, the advantage and all that, they're still going to have to beat two very good teams to win the All-Ireland. And if it's going to be a drive for five and it's going to be, and history's going to be made, it'd be great to see it done that way. Do you know what I mean? That they underlined their champion status by by beating two good teams in the semi-final and final.
So let's just finish up now with our Bord Gáis Energy rising star of the weekend. Anyone catch your eye? And, you know, as I said, whenever we have someone in, we have a very loose interpretation of rising star.
As loose as
some people have been about 40, you know, and they've been pegged as rising stars.
Well, Oisin Gallen caught my eye. I know he's he's no secret to anyone, but he came on in a very pressurised environment and kicked two lovely points, I think. Might even been one off the left and one off the right. I'm not sure on that, but I remember just thinking that very calm and assured for a fellow who hasn't been exposed to that much. And, you know, we spend an awful lot of time talking with the lads and the young lads in Kerry, and rightly so. But, like, Oisin Gallen to come into that environment and kick two important points was vital.
And again, I'm going to just take a very ridiculous interpretation of rising star, because I think this guy is going into stardom. So that's how I'm going to define it. I think Stephen O'Brien has been... You know, so underrated for Kerry. The last couple of seasons, he's emerged as one of the best weapons in the country. I think he's a really good chance of winning an All-Star, which would be a good reward for him, because it's funny, he was wing forward on the team that won the All-Ireland in 2014, but he was not this kind of player at all. Like, he wasn't nowhere near this level at that time.
Yeah, and he's an excellent ball carrier as well, because and sometimes you know what he's going to do. He jinks inside a lot. He has the ball in his right hand, he jinks inside, and you know what he's going to do, but no more than the Sean Kavanagh, the little shuffle he used to do, knowing what he's going to do and stopping it are two very different things.
He roasted his marker the weekend. I can't remember, his name escapes me who it was, but he had him in all sorts of difficulties.
He's so low to the ground.
Yeah, when he ran
directly. He's hard to stop, so he's sort of, he carries himself low as well, so that when you tackle him, you're basically tackling his around his head and his shoulder, and like your arm is never going to make any impact. You're not getting near the ball, and he just barrels past fellas. And then, and he's incredibly accurate with no space, no backlift as well. He's very accurate with the shot. So, yeah, no, he's really stood up as a leader, actually, particularly yesterday when it's kind of been lost a little bit. Kerry were missing their first choice midfielders, both of whom have David Moran's very experienced, and Jack Barry's been around a lot longer than most of the fellas, a bit longer than most of the fellas on the Kerry squad. So for them to pull that out without those two, and for Stephen O'Brien and Paul Ganey in particular to stand up, all things are looking rosy for Kerry at the minute.
Well, I think that just about covers everything. Thanks to Dunica for joining me and to Kieran earlier. And just a reminder that this Thursday, the Throw-In Live is going to Wexford, to the Ashdown Park Hotel in Gorey, ahead of the All-Ireland Hurling Semi-Finals. We'll have match tickets and signed jerseys to give away, and we have a great lineup as well. Billy Byrne and Ursula Jacob will be there to give the Wexford view. Brendan Cummins and John Milan will be in attendance as well, so lots to look forward to. And if you want to register to get a free ticket, you can go onto independent.ie. That'll be available until Wednesday. And in the meantime, that's all we have time for on the Throw-In this week in association with Bord Gáis Energy. See you on Thursday night, or if not, next week, where we will have all the action recapped as well. In the meantime, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or listen on independent.ie. So until next time, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Bord Gáis Energy, putting customers at the core of under-20 and senior hurling championship action. #hurlingtothecore.